You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, Ron, you were recently asked to speak at the Southern California Force Instructors Association, and I didn't get to attend. I was home babysitting the Desi dog, but I heard nothing but wonderful things about your talk. We've had people contact us as soon as you got home, and so tell me and tell everybody how that went.
Well, it went really good. First of all, I was so honored. You know, whenever you get to do a presentation, and I was the plenary speaker at this symposium in Newport Beach, which is not a bad place to do training, I might add. So I was asked to come in and present on how to become a subject matter expert for your police department, and, you know, how to testify in court and in depositions and before public bodies. And I got to tell you, there were over 100 people there, all professionals, like I said, all colleagues, and it was just it was an amazing highlight of the year. I will just say that I was presented the Outstanding Achievement Award for my contributions to the use of force, you know, industry, which are instructors, and such a huge thing these days. When you watch television, you know, listen to the news, Black Lives Matter. I mean, it's all about use of force, use of deadly force, and everything. But you know what? Here's what I came away with, and that is because I did a little bit of new research about California laws and things, and we have the new in California. They have the new Senate Bill 230, which was passed by the legislature and signed by Gavin Newsom, the governor. And so that law is going into effect, and all the new regulations and the guidelines are going into effect January, you know, of 2021.
Well, what are those new laws, and what's going on over there?
Well, I got to tell you, the thing that's so frustrating about this is because you hear these conflicting ideas and statements made by the progressive left, you know, like first they want to defund law enforcement, then they want you to reimagine law enforcement, which is actually a defunded, you know, and castrated,
yeah,
you know, emasculated law enforcement. You never hear anything in regards to how the public needs to de-escalate. Look how violent our public is. Look at the resistance movement. Look at Black Lives Matter. Look at Antifa. I mean, you name it. These are people that need to calm down. And of course, all of this is thumped on top of law enforcement. Anyway, to get to the point, so they've decided that they want all the peace officers in the state of California trained. And they have new penal code sections that deal with necessary force rather than objectively reasonable force, which is a big deal. Because necessary force is speculative.
Subjective,
right? Thank you. It's subjective. What is necessary?
Well, in whose opinion?
Exactly. And the trier of fact that knows nothing about police practices and use of force and how police officers do things and what they're lawfully certified to do, they get to make the decision on a subjective basis rather than the Supreme Court decision, which, you know, usurps everything, you know, federal laws, usurps state law, and that is objectively reasonable force. But anyway, here was the kicker. They want officers to do all these things. And by the way, they're taking a lot of use of force tools away from officers. And then they are going to give the monitoring agency, which is the Commission on Peace Officer Standards and Training, about $459,000 to redevelop the guidelines in the use of force and de-escalation, several different areas. And then they are going to fund all of this new training with only $10 million. Well, I did the math on this, and there are currently in the state of California 78,500 certified peace officers in the state of California. If you divide 78,500 into 10 million, you get 128 bucks an officer for training. That is absolutely ridiculous. The state of California probably puts out about $200 million to illegal aliens in one form of government, you know, subsidy or another. Over $200 million. They spent $150 billion on a train that goes nowhere.
And still goes nowhere.
Right. That train hasn't even left the tracks yet.
Yep.
Okay, and they've been working on that for, what, 15 or 20 years now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and so now they want all these officers, all this pressure is placed on our officers, 78,500, to do all these things that they want them to do while their agencies are being defunded and they're only giving $10 million for these officers to be trained. They need about, at least to start, Linda, just to start, they need 15 times that number of money, at least $150 million, just to kick this thing off.
I don't even know what to say because it's expected from California, and they've put officers and the public in a terrible position. People need to remember that when officers have restrictions that do not enable them to remain safe, neither does the public remain safe. Okay, I mean, there's a correlation to if somebody is doing something wrong and that officer gets hurt, probably that citizen's going to get hurt. Not only that, but when you don't give enough money to officers, which has been a very long time that they haven't given enough money, and now it's getting worse, the citizens aren't safe either because officers can't be well trained, and you need the best trained officers to perform the best under stress. Don't forget, officers are not performing like you're disciplining your kids. Officers are performing under extreme situations, very fast evolving situations, and things that happen that are unexpected in a heartbeat.
At night. Under the worst possible conditions.
Yes.
You know, we were talking, I mentioned briefly about the United States Supreme Court and objectively reasonable force. Well, the precedent case is called Graham versus Connor, 1989. So this case came in 1989. I'm not going to go over the guidelines, but I just want to give a little quote from the United States Supreme Court because it typifies what you said. Officers are often asked to respond to situations that are tense and uncertain in rapidly evolving situations. And you know me with officer-involved shootings, which is what I specialize in. Those things, Linda, how many of those have you reviewed with me where it happened literally in milliseconds? Milliseconds in the total dark.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Right?
I mean, and many, many do. And many situations that you don't think are going to go downhill very, very rapidly. And again, you have to make life and death decisions very rapidly. People who are making these kinds of laws, Ron, have never been in those shoes.
Boy, you know, I'm so glad that you said that because we were all getting, around. You know, we did a little roundtable thing and we had a couple of good attorneys in there, one of which I've worked with before. And we were all sort of lamenting what is going on in the state of California with the Commission on Peace Officers Standards and Training and who are the subject matter experts that they are listening to. Because they're certainly not, when you, and I'm not going to bore everybody with these different regulatory changes, but they're absolutely what we would refer to as warm and fuzzy. Okay? They are not based in any practical application of law enforcement, given the dire circumstances that officers find themselves frequently in when they have to use force. And there is no money, there is no regulation, there is no penal codes, there are no guidelines whatsoever, legislative guidelines, to calm people down that we are dealing with.
No. My guess is that this decision in California, using the words necessary instead of objective and reasonable, will end up in the Supreme Court because that is such a subjective criteria that I don't know how anybody would decide what necessary is.
Well, one of the things that we believe is going to happen, and I truly do believe it because I see it happening across the United States, is they put necessary force in there to be able to prosecute officers. Okay? Because that's what's happening. We're seeing so much more prosecutorial activism taking place in the United States. And so once it goes to necessary force, then it allows a prosecutor subjectively to make a decision on whether an officer should be prosecuted or not.
But that is not, it cannot be his call. He's never been in that position to understand what is necessary. Unless you were the guy out there at night with a suspect with a weapon of some sort or a possible weapon or whatever the scenario is, you don't know. You're not there. You know that this backseat
quarterbacking
is so unfair to officers. I want to know what the officers that were in your class, what were their thoughts about all of this?
Oh, exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, going back again, you know, to the United States Supreme Court, and in Graham v. Conner, it says that you are not, if you are the person looking at what the officer did and trying to make a determination of what are the officer's actions were objectively reasonable or not, you cannot use 20/20 hindsight.
Exactly.
You can't, like you said, quarterback. Well, the Supreme Court doesn't say quarterback. They say use 20/20 hindsight. You must stand in the officer's shoes and make determinations based on what they call the totality of circumstances, which is what really happened and not the stupid woulda, coulda, shoulda argument. You must do it at the moment and not, okay, well, if you would have known this and you should have known that, or you could have done this and you could have done that. That is not part of the calculus of whether an officer acted in a lawful manner or not. But anyway, the officers are very, very concerned. And I'm so glad that they formed this organization. And of course, I'm up there, you know, on my soapbox, and I'm telling them, look, this is a wonderful organization. We have thousands of years of experience between these, you know, 100 some odd people that were there. And I said, this organization and organizations like it need to be a voice of reason to the California legislature and its governor, because we have no idea. And, you know, that's a follow-up story for me. I'm going to find out who these so-called subject matter experts were that wrote in the verbiage, the language for the legislation in SB, you know, 230.
You know, every time that you are not clear and defined with officers, that requires them to second guess themselves out in the field. And when they have to second guess themselves in a situation that's already a split second situation, lives get lost. It could be the officer's life, and probably is, but it could also be a suspect's life. It could be an innocent person's life. When you put doubt in their mind, instead of giving them a clear roadmap, it's just bad for everybody. And I can't stress enough, where people think that this just affects officers is a big mistake. It affects citizens.
No, and it does, and it affects everybody. It affects the officers, the families. It's absolutely sends a ripple effect of a negative nature throughout law enforcement. You know, one of the things that I do, of course, is testify on human factors. And one of the human factors things is referred to is action, reaction, perception, lag time. And that's a fancy medical term, but here it is. You remember the game that you used to play when you were a kid, where your brother or your sister put their hand on top
oh, yeah.
of yours and you had your hand beneath it, and the deal was to move your hand before your hand could get hit? Well, you never moved it out of the way, you know, fast enough, and you always got hit. Well, the reason is that action is always faster than reaction. And officers always find themselves in this situation. You're chasing after a suspect, and you're yelling at them, show me your hands, show me your hands. All of a sudden, the suspect reaches down into a concealed area of their waistband, and they come out with a dark object in the dark and start to point that at you. What do you think that is? I mean, you've only got a millisecond to make a decision, and you think it's a gun. The guy's acting like it's a gun. He's not doing anything you're telling him to do, and all of a sudden you shoot, and you either seriously injure or you kill this guy, and the next thing you find out that it's a cell phone. right? Now you could be prosecuted for that. And the reason that you could be prosecuted is because they used 20/20 hindsight. Well, you should have known it was a cell phone. Well, why didn't you wait to see, you know, when he draws it out and points it at you? I mean, I've had several cases like that. In the future, instead of being civil cases, those are going to become criminal cases.
And here's what they should have done instead of that. Instead of doing what they did and making a law for police officers to be even more compromised, they should have enhanced the law, which is there, that they never talk about. So if he's not stopping and doing what he's told, if he's not laying on the ground, if he's not putting his hands up, if he's not whatever, that's the guy that should be in trouble. Because what people also need to remember when they hear all this false narrative about officers shooting innocent people, none of these people are just walking down the street doing nothing and the officer shoots them. They are all involved in something that caused this contact to happen and caused a use of force to happen.
And including various forms of resistance all the way up to
yes.
serious resistance. But Linda, here's the problem, and this is why this keeps happening. Because there is prosecutorial advocacy and judicial advocacy, and so prosecutors drop the resisting arrest charges against these people. The judges, if they get convicted of resisting arrest, they do nothing with them. Okay, they don't put them in jail. They put them on home arrest, or they fine them and they release them, and there is no behavioral modification. And when there is no behavioral modification, the behavior not only continues, but it worsens. I will tell you categorically, and I know all of my brother and sister officers will agree, whether they're retired or currently on the job, resistance against police is at an all-time high. I have never seen it worse than it is now. And this is also the fault of politicians that never say anything about this behavior.
Well, it absolutely is. And therefore, more people end up getting hurt. And if you prosecute officers, you're not going to have officers. And then what are you going to have? It has been documented over and over that citizens want police officers. They do not want to defund them, and they don't want less of them. They want more of them, and they want them better trained. Why are our politicians not listening to those who elected them?
Yeah, and you know, and another thing, and that is, you know, the other day, and I think you were watching Fox News with me, and we had a guy that was on the television who was being interviewed by one of the Fox hosts, and they were saying that they made this stupid, and they kept doubling down on this stupid comment that crime is down. That crime is down. No, crime is not down. Violent crime in some areas is through the freaking roof.
Yes.
New York City, 166% increase in homicide. I mean, every single one of them is high double digits. And the type of crime that is down is reported crime, not real crime. Because people are so frustrated with the prosecutorial advocacy and activism and judicial activism, where nothing ever happens to these people, zero bail, releasing these people, dropping all the charges. They say, what's the point? Why should I even report this to the police? I might as well just shut up, put better locks on my door, buy a gun, you know, do something like that, because the police are never going to be able to help me. And it's because the police are having their tools lost and the laws are against the American citizen
and
right now.
Firearm sales are going through the roof.
Through the
as
roof.
As well as firearms training classes are going through the roof.
Absolutely. How about a cup of coffee?
You got it.
Fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Well, still very high on the list of things that we're hearing on the news every day is that we don't have an official president yet, that there's still a lot of investigations going on regarding voter fraud. And if you listen to Rudy Giuliani, they have all the evidence that they need and cases are going forward. If you listen to other people, they say cases, and I believe this, are being dismissed by liberal judges left and right.
As a matter of fact, several.
Yes.
Currently, several. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, there's been a couple of other states, Arizona. And I tell you what, it's heartbreaking news. And even within the news media, one does not get a sense of the nature. You get a little bit of the nature of the evidence, but you don't get why they are turning these cases down. The only thing you hear is the judges are finding that there's insufficient evidence. What I would like to hear as an American citizen is what was the evidence that was attempted to be presented in the court, and what did the other side say that convinced the judge that there was no evidence? Because we keep hearing the Trump attorneys, the Trump administration, the Trump spokespeople saying that there is a plethora of evidence. But then how can that reconcile with the fact that the judges are turning the case, you know, their summary judgment against the Trump administration and the president?
I think, Ron, that all these cases should be heard, and let us hear if there's evidence or not evidence, because I think the American people will never trust our system again if they push this under the rug and make it go away. It's not going to go away in our mind. We're not going to forget about it.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You know, me, I'm involved in so many of these federal lawsuits. There is something called a motion for summary judgment, and both sides respond to the motion. And one side, let's just take the Trump side, says, hey, we have clear and convincing evidence that there's voter fraud. The other side, which in these cases would be the state attorney generals or whomever, it is the state attorney general that responds, and they say there is no evidence. And then both sides present their arguments, and then the judge ultimately makes a determination of whether the Trump administration is going to prevail on summary judgment or the state is going to prevail on summary judgment. And so far, the states have been prevailing on summary judgment. But boy, I would really like to see what they call the moving papers, which means let's see the evidence. These should be public documents. Let's see the arguments of the evidence on both sides, and then let's see what the judge's ruling is.
And
so,
my feeling
so
is,
we can get in his mind.
Yes, but my feeling is, are these judges conservative judges or liberal judges? Because I hate to think that that makes a difference, but it absolutely does make a difference.
Oh, absolutely, Lindy. How many times have we seen in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals?
Oh, all the time.
You know, where they rule against, time and time again, against the president and his administration when it came to immigration, right? The most liberal court around. So there are absolutely people that don't think that there are biased judges in the United States at all levels of our civil and criminal justice system, they're naive. Of course there are.
My guess is still that this is going to end up in the Supreme Court. That is my guess.
Well, I would think that after summary judgment, and I'm not an attorney, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn once, after summary judgment, I believe that the Trump administration has an opportunity for appeal and to take it to the higher court. Now, I believe that these lawsuits are happening at the district court level. So then it goes to the District Court of Appeals, and from the District Court of Appeals, it goes to the United States Supreme Court. Now, the question that I can't answer, because I'm no expert here whatsoever, is due to the exigent circumstances where we are coming up to January, we better have a president of the United States. I think that the case with exigent circumstances should, like you say, bounce to the United States Supreme
it's
Court.
It's going to bounce up there. Do I think that President Trump is going to prevail? I don't think he's going to prevail. Do I think he should? Yes. But I, in my heart, as I've said, I believe that he won the election. I believe that there was huge amounts of voter fraud in not just one way, but many different ways. We've talked about all those ways, so I don't need to go through all those again. But this is almost a bridge too far. It's too close in time. There's too many hurdles, and we don't want to have the country in chaos for a very long time. And that's not safe for America. It's not good for America. Nor was the way that this election was handled. This election was handled so badly. And one of the issues that they're failing to address, which angers me, is the whole thing about changing the rules days before the vote. That's just not supposed to be allowed to happen. No matter what happens from this, we have got to do this better. We can do this better. We have to do this better. And there's no reason that we shouldn't, unless you want to be fraudulent. Every single person I've talked to says, I want to go back to
the old way.
The old way. Right. You walk in, right. You vote, you right. Show your ID,
right.
And then we don't have all these questions, because this country cannot go through this every election.
No, you know, Linda, I'm so glad that you brought that up. The old way, as I would define it, and you did a pretty good job in part of the definition, to me, the old way is not only going in person, like you said, with voter ID. Got to have voter ID. There's no reason. We've talked about that, because I don't want to bore people. But the other thing is absentee ballots only. No mail-in ballots, no motor voter ballots, none of that. And because every single place that has had a problem, the major problem has been with the mail-in ballots. The other one, of course, we've talked about the software, Dominion, you know, all of that black technology that's going on there. And of course, allegations are going backwards and forwards. I'd love to be the guy that reads the paperwork on these different lawsuits where that type of technology is mentioned as a culprit, and see what the evidence was, and then what the argument against the evidence was, and how the judge decided. That's what I really want to see. Well, I want to know how these judges are thinking.
And the ghost voting in 29 different states, where they have more voters than there are eligible voters in that county.
Right.
So that's impossible. So what that speaks to is that these states and counties need to clean their voting rolls, and they don't do it unless somebody sues them to do it. Why don't they sue them? This Justice Department, under William Barr, who I love, has had their hands full with everything that they've been doing to the president. They have not addressed too many. I think they did two only. And the other organization that
Oh, Judicial Watch?
Judicial Watch. They did, I think, seven. And they, well, we've talked about Los Angeles alone, had 1.3 million people that were on their voter roll that had no, were not eligible to vote, or correct, dead, or correct, moved, or something.
Correct.
So if you picture those 1.3 million people getting a ballot in the mail, I mean, that's a lot of votes.
Yeah.
That has happened all over the country. That, to me, is one of the very biggest problems, is that states are suing to not have to clean their voter rolls. What does that tell you?
No, you're really correct there. And then the other thing that they have definitely got to stop, I don't even know why we have an argument about this, but look what they're talking about in Georgia. Move to Georgia to vote, okay?
Well, that's illegal.
You should not have any voting rights unless you've lived in a jurisdiction for 6 months.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. We just have to get this cleaned up. We have to have free and fair elections. The whole world looks at us for our elections. This is embarrassing. And I think that President Trump got really ripped off here. And I think the American people did too. So it's going to be what it is, Ron. And we're going to have to deal with whatever that situation is.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you something just off the cuff. And that is, what's your mindset? Let's be pessimistic, unfortunately, for a second. So let's say that Biden-Harris ticket wins with all of the horrible things that are going to happen. What's your mindset, your political mindset, as to where you think your focus is going to be moving forward politically?
My focus is absolutely going to be to continue to talk about the conservative mindset and to continue to take our country the opposite direction of socialism. And I think that we have to be even more engaged in that instead of less engaged. I'm extremely disappointed. I'm extremely worried about our country for the next 4 years, as are a lot of people. We absolutely need to save the Senate seats in Georgia. I'm afraid to trust that election in Georgia no matter what. I mean, that's how we all feel right now. But as far as my mindset, Ron, it's not to walk away and give up. It's to redouble our efforts. You saw some amazing things this election. You saw 17 women get voted into, Republican women get voted into Congress. That's just an amazing accomplishment. And some in places that took seats from Democrats that have had those seats forever. That tells you something. And even that tells me even more that President Trump won the election. You saw the MAGA march in Washington, D.C. That was, I've never seen anything like that in my lifetime, with that many people for a president, especially a president that theoretically lost the election.
You know, depending on who you listen to, right? Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, it is.
Depending on who you listen to, there was somewhere between over 100,000 to almost 500,000 people there.
If you saw the pictures, there was no way it was 100,000. And I'll tell you exactly why, and you can relate to this. The AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, seats,
how many?
That
we just came from, 80,000.
Can you imagine just adding 20,000 to that, and those were the pictures you saw? No way. There had to be 500,000. I even think that there was 1 million people there. The entire area was wall-to-wall people. Either way, it was a huge outpouring of support for the president, like I've never seen in my lifetime. I believe that America loves this man and needs this man and appreciates what he did. And I think that we will appreciate it even more after 4 years of Biden-Harris.
Well, I got to tell you, going back, and it wasn't that long ago that we had Obama-Biden and the least transparent presidential administration we've ever had, the most oppressive. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But remember what they did. Okay, they spent 8 years blaming George Bush for the lack of accomplishments on their part, okay, 8 years. They will spend at least the next 4 years blaming President Trump for all of his, you know, on their side, what they would call policy debacles, driving the economy into the toilet. I mean,
nobody will listen, Ron. Nobody will listen.
No, Linda, I'm gonna argue with you. Hell yes, they're gonna listen.
Nope,
and I'm gonna tell you. Okay,
well, we're gonna make a bet right now.
Well, I'm gonna tell you why. Because there's 70 million people that voted for Biden-Harris, and they drank the Kool-Aid. And it was more Trump-hating than it was policy resonance. Because how could you not resonate with policies that move this country forward, in light years forward, compared to what happened under the Obama and Biden administration? And they voted for Biden-Harris, and they voted for Bernie Sanders, and they voted for AOC, and they voted for socialism. And lots of free stuff. So
exactly.
I absolutely disagree with you.
And let's see if they actually get their free stuff. The legacy that the Obama-Biden administration left us was a very dangerous one of being unready to face enemies,
up.
To
yes.
do anything.
Yes.
They gutted our military. They harmed our police force. No. America's not ready to go down that road again. And people, and I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat in this case, people all got the checks from the Trump administration. He's the guy that developed the vaccine. It makes me sick to my stomach to look at people on Twitter say all the time that Trump killed all these people in the country. No, you need to be blaming the people that killed them, which is China. And you need to be blaming the people that are out running around the streets in riots and passing their germs around.
So real quick, how do you think the mainstream media, the CNN, the MSNBC, the NBC, the ABC, the NPR, all of the liberal mainstream media, if Biden and Harris caused this country to start auguring in, which we absolutely believe is going to happen, how do you think the mainstream media is going to react? Are they going to be pissed at them?
No.
Or are they going to cover for them?
They're going to cover for them.
Of course, they have to, because it would all make them look like a bunch of idiots.
But the thing is, even if half of America is blind, the other half isn't. And I think that the half that isn't, people like us, just common sense conservatives, we see the handwriting. We know what's true and what's not true. And we're tired of it. And I think that we're getting more and more tired of it. And I think that we're going to step it up. We are stepping it up. You just saw it in Washington, D.C. People are tired of being lied to, tired of being taken advantage of.
But not enough. Yes, it's a good start. But look at where we are historically in our country. It might be a little bit too late, and I'm worried about this country becoming a socialist third world nation. Look at the youth, of which the polls say 56% favor socialism over capitalism. That's the kind of stuff that scares the bejesus out of me.
That is because we as parents let the educational system take over the parenting of our kids. Big mistake. We need to change that. Every parent is responsible for that.
So moving into the future, then that has to be a priority. And the question that remains is, do the American people have the wherewithal, have the intestinal fortitude, have the heroic courage to change our educational system? How about our last cup of coffee?
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Unfortunately, we have to talk about COVID once again. It seems like this will never end. And we have, I guess, some good news, bad news on COVID. We have the bad news that more people are getting it, wintertime, flu season, it's spreading around. Why is it spreading around? I don't know. Nobody knows. It could be people are not socially distancing. It could be that social distancing doesn't do a lot. Nobody knows, really.
How about some of these giant Antifa Black Lives Matter movements and all these celebrations and everything where it's been spreading it all over the place?
Well, of course. That absolutely isn't an impact. You know, we have flown several times on airplanes that are 100% full. You can't be closer to people than that. And people are not getting it on airplanes. So I think it's just irresponsible people that are running around. But either way, I can't speculate on that. And like I say, that's all that they can do is speculate, because there's some information, but not a ton. The great news is that not one, but two vaccines have proven to be 90% effective in the Pfizer one. And in the Moderna one, 94.5% effective. That's great news. They both basically do the same thing, inserting a little snippet of that virus into your DNA. And it creates some antibodies that happen. And then you take a second dose, and you then develop this resistance to COVID.
Linda, do they both take two shots?
Yes.
Both of them do?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are a lot of other vaccines in the works that don't work exactly the same way. These two happen to work in almost the same way.
So you got to come back twice.
And they also almost have the same results. So that's really good news.
I don't know the answers. That's why I'm asking you this question, because you've done a little bit more research than I have. So you get the, no matter which of the two vaccines you use, you get the first shot, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then how long do you have to
wait? I
think it's
about 2 weeks.
Okay. So you do one shot and then come back 2 weeks mm-hmm. later and you get another shot. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that this is really good news. They expect to have these vaccines out. Well, they're going for FDA approval as we speak. And hopefully by the end of the year, they'll have FDA approval to use this. And then they're going to try to give it to the people most at risk first. And really by spring, they should have it out to millions and millions and millions of people.
Well, I know our great governor, Greg Abbott, has already talked about the plans throughout the state of
Texas.
Texas. Thank you. Sorry. Just came back from California. You know, using the military. And he's got I think we have a pretty good game plan in Texas. So.
Well, I think President Trump has put a good game plan together for the whole country to be able to receive the vaccine using the military and using, he's got a whole plan set up. He did a phenomenal job on this, which is why I hate to see people accuse him of causing these deaths, because nobody in history has ever put a program like this together successfully in this short time.
And he will get no credit for this.
Yes, he will, because
okay.
I'll make sure he will. but then you have the other side of the coin, where you have those greedy, power-hungry politicians, governors, Democratic governors, by the way, that are using COVID to enhance their power and to shut down people, causing them to lose their businesses, their livelihoods. I mean, just kids can't go to school. So now the governors are again shutting things down. You have...
You got Governor Newsom in California.
Of course.
And in Michigan, you got Gretchen Whitmer. And then mayors, okay? So you've got Bill de Blasio in New York City. You got Lori Lightfoot in the city of Chicago, just to mention a few.
And Inslee in Washington, state of Washington. So they're shutting down businesses again. They're shutting down theaters and bowling alleys and gyms and all kinds of different things again. I go to the gym and I haven't gotten COVID from going to the gym. Everybody seems to be using all the proper measures there, and it seems to be very safe. I've gone and gotten my hair done a number of times, and everybody uses all the safety measures. So, that's what it's all about. Where are those safety measures not? Riots, demonstrations, there's not those safety measures there. So those are the places I would stay away from, but I'm going to go where I know that it's safe, and I'm careful about that. I'm glad that the vaccine is coming out. I think it's going to free us up again. If Joe Biden ends up being the president, he's going to benefit from President Trump's success with this, because stock markets are going to go back up. They're already going back up just on the news. And so it's a catch-22 there, just speaking from a business point of view. You have the good news that's going to bring the stock market up about us getting rid of COVID. But you have the bad news about Biden's tax cuts and some of his Green New Deal and all that the stock market does not like. So I'm not sure that we're going to be in a great stock market. I see one contradicting the other.
I do.
Be flat.
Yeah, I think that's a great term. And of course, you're the business person between the two of us. And flat, I think a flat trajectory is going to be it. I'm really worried that with the Biden tax policies, we're going to chase people out of the United States again. We're going to chase people out into Asia, Indonesia, going to chase people back to Mexico. These corporations, these major corporations, these businesses.
We lost a lot of wealth during this COVID time from businesses. My business alone is a perfect example in California, where it's been terrible to operate there. Now you want to tax us more, and that's going to make us lose more wealth. What is the first thing that we're going to do? We're going to lay off. Yeah. People are going to be out of work.
Yeah, as you've indicated on numerous occasions, when you do well and your clients, because you're a broker, you're broking to major casinos and major hotel chains and resorts and yada, 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 but big B2B, business to business. When they have money, they want to spend money.
Yes.
Okay, because they're doing well and they want to advertise, right? And they want to do the promotional things and that helps you and that helps everybody. But conversely, when they're shut down by COVID, right? Or if they're being taxed out of their minds and people are being taxed and there's not that liquidity where, they have money to go spend to go to Disneyland or to go to some nice resort or to go out to Hawaii or to do this or that. Yeah, they don't have enough money to spend there. And guess what? Those companies start to be very stingy with their dollars, which again hurts small businesses like yours.
Which again hurts people that either work for me or they can't work for me,
right?
Because there's not enough business. So, yeah, Joe Biden has no clue how to stimulate an economy. And speaking of stimulating, Nancy Pelosi has been holding up the second stimulus for businesses like mine, like yours, like millions of people across America in small businesses. She has been holding up their stimulus because she wants to add a whole lot of pork that has nothing to do with the stimulus. And the Republicans, rightfully so, and I support them, won't let them because it's such terrible things she wants to add. And we've talked about it before. The point is, here we are at the end of the year before Christmas, and she's still holding this up. And there's no sign that this is going to get done. And business after business is closing forever and losing their livelihoods. And I can't tell you how horrible I think that is for people.
Yeah, today I had an opportunity to speak with our guy that does our pest control, okay? And he comes like once a month and he does the pest control. And we were talking about small businesses like his, and he says, you know, one of the sad things that he has to deal with because of this trickle-down effect is, he goes, I'm running into so many of my clients that their businesses are upside down. And he goes, they don't have any money. And I'm trying to keep them as clients. I'm trying to negotiate with them. What can I do to help you? You know, and he goes, it's just so sad. I go to one family after another, you know, one residence after another, and it's the same darn thing. It's just absolutely sad.
Now, people can't get out from under water on this for a very long time. It's not like, even if you gave them the stimulus, that they can just bounce back. They're so far under at this point, a lot of them will never be able to recover.
You know, I'd like the media to tell people some way, even if it's putting it up on the whiteboard or something like that. All the pork that Nancy and her ilk want to add to the stimulus bill. You know, I know that President Trump and the Republicans want a straight bill, which means pay the people, pay the businesses, you know, help them pay, you know, their wages, their income and things like that. But that's not what the Democrats want. And the Democrats consistently paint the Republicans as being the obstructionists in this stimulus package, when that is not the truth at all. And I'd love to see One America News or Fox or Newsmax or one of these, you know, major cable networks just put up on the board, what is all of these pork ideas that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders and AOC and all these people are trying to attach to the stimulus bill, so people can see for themselves who the obstructionists are and who they're not.
Well, I will tell you what some of those are next time that we talk. But right now, I want to talk about something great that just happened with you and I. And I don't know if people know that we are stock contractors for Bucking Bulls, that we have been in the Bucking Bull business in a small way for a number of years. And we partner up with the Halpains, who are in Oklahoma, and they have a Bucking Bull ranch.
And it's Halpain Bucking Bulls.
That's it.
And I'll tell you what, between Linda Martinelli, who's the brains of the operation for Martinelli Bucking Bulls, and the Halpain Bucking Bulls, the Bull Whisperers, for a couple of relatively small players in the industry, because, you know, we're up against these multi-million dollar bull conglomerates hundreds of bulls, to do as well as we have done over the years as far as competition. Is just amazing.
We tend to pick good bulls, and we tend to partner up with the Halpains on good bulls. So we just recently had the PBR World Finals. Our bull Hank was in the World Finals.
Rank Hank.
We went up to watch him. And by the way, Rank Hank is the nicest bull ever outside of the ring. He truly is.
You know, I posted some pictures of him, you know, the facial picture that he had when he was looking through the pen, and everybody said, oh, what a handsome bull.
He is a handsome.
A nice looking boy.
Yeah, he's a Hereford.
Yeah, he's a Hereford.
Anyway, he took third in the World Finals, and we couldn't be more thrilled and excited for Hank, for ourselves, and for Aaron. Just a shout out to Aaron. Aaron has been our bull trainer since he was 17 years old, the youngest bull trainer in the PBR.
And taught well by his dad, Jerry.
Oh, absolutely. His parents are two of the best people on earth. And he's now 21 years old, engaged to be married. And, you know, he's kind of an old soul, but this guy can ride horses, rope.
He's the real cowboy. He's the real deal.
Train bulls, gets in the trucks with them, and, you know, tells them what time it is, and I just love them to death. Couldn't be nicer people. So congratulations to us, congratulations to Hank, and congratulations to the Halpains. One more bit of good news for the Martinellis. So out of our four adult children, we have had two that have lived near us that followed us from California to Texas, or we followed them, not sure which it was, but we're all here anyway. And we just acquired a new one that we thought would never leave California, that decided to leave California and made the decision to move out, and just arrived a couple of weeks ago, and is loving Texas.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think he'd ever come out here. We got one left in Calisuela.
One holdout.
One holdout in Calisuela, and I keep talking to him, and they're going to have a baby pretty soon, and maybe there'll be a come-to-Jesus meeting, and maybe wanting to come out to Texas, because they both love Texas. They really do. But our police officer boy is still, kind of stuck in a rut out there in Calisuela, so we hope maybe, something happens. But, we're doing a pretty good job keeping Texas red and recruiting people to come out to Texas, conservatives, law enforcement, first responders, with our little, free service, escapetotexas.net. And that's really wonderful. And we've done very well. We've got quite a good response on escapetotexas.net.
Well, we've had, just on a personal level, at least six of our friends have moved out here, and we have another set or two on the way. People come to visit, and they fall in love with the area. So, and you and I just drove from South Texas to North Texas a few days ago, and we just couldn't stop commenting on the beauty of the scenery. The towns are far apart. They're just the quaintest towns ever and fun to look at. But the beauty and the scenery and the greenery, as opposed to cement everywhere, is just breathtaking.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I love taking those back highways to get back home, especially through the Texas Hill Country. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how people can listen to Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking While Mary.
Well, they can go to AmericaOutloud.com and find us there, and they can listen live every day at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, to Talking While Mary. But if they can't do that and they miss the show, they can pick us up on any of their favorite podcast sites, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts. There's all kinds of ways to hear us. You'll never be without us.
It's fun to listen to all the programs on America Out Loud, because we have such talent on the network.
And, it's a time when I think that a station like America Out Loud is so much more important to the country. Very patriotic station, full of lots of American patriots that participate. We have Michael Johns. We have
the guy that started the entire Tea Party, Michael Johns.
Yes. And so many more. And all you have to do is go to the front page of AmericaOutloud.com, take a look at who's writing that day, and take a look at the shows, and enjoy yourself.
And don't forget that Miss Linda Martinelli writes for America Out Loud. And please, if you get an opportunity, look Linda up and some of her marvelous columns.